Welcome to the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast. I'm Chad.
I'm Dale.
On tonight's episode 115, we look back at the Leafs week in California. Bieber makes an appearance. The Leafs burst out in LA. A little taste of load management in San Jose. Sheldon Keefe and the coaching staff. Joseph Woll, 3-0 to start his NHL career. Can we say backup goalie controversy? Can we say that? I don't know. Spezza hits a milestone, the final Movember numbers, and there must be something about California because we have triple tip-ins.
What?
Yep, that's right. We had three tip-ins.
Did I hear that right?
We have a tripod of tips.
Did I hear that right?
That's right. All that and more coming up on episode 115 of the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast. On Twitter at the Tip In Podcast. Check out our YouTube page at the Tip In Maple Leafs Podcast. Hit like, hit subscribe. And if you like the show, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/the Tip In Podcast. You can donate as little as a cup of coffee. And that money goes back into the podcast so that we can bring you more frequent episodes and better sounding recordings. Let's get to it. The number one team in the NHL, the Toronto Maple Leafs, go into California, and they come out without a fucking scratch.
The number one team in the NHL, eh? Like,
well,
right
tied with Washington. I know. And they've played more games than Washington, but I'm going to say it anyway, because they have just as many points as Washington Capitals. Number one team in the Atlantic Division, number one team in the NHL. Most wins ever in a month in franchise history.
Dude, that's crazy. We got hit, like, birds' heads are falling off over here. Like, we got
fucking nuts.
We got Harry and Lloyd, fucking birds' heads are falling off. Like, this is absolutely fucking crazy right now. I can't, like, I'm honestly speechless. I don't know. Like, we're at the quarterway point here, man. Okay. Like, it's not early days anymore. It still is kind of before Christmas. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
but American Thanksgiving is the time when people say, this gives you a good understanding of how the season may shape up by the end. Mostly for teams outside of a playoff spot. It's really hard to get into a playoff spot after American Thanksgiving if you're out. So if I'm the Montreal Canadiens or the Ottawa Senators, it ain't looking good. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's all sunshine.
No, you're right. And okay, so just to go off the top, like you kind of just touched on there briefly, but just before we get into the recaps, I'm just gonna rip off these things that are like birds' heads are falling off, man. That's all I can say right now. In November, the Toronto Maple Leafs played 14 hockey games. Okay. They went 12-2 in just the month of November. Okay. 12-0 when going into the third period with the lead, not just in November, all season long, 12-0 going into the third period with the lead. They set a franchise record for seven straight road wins. They've won 14 of their last 16 games. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games, set a franchise record for wins in the month of November with 12, outscored their opponents 18-4 in their last four games. They stand alone, first place in the Atlantic Division, and like you just said, tied for first overall in the National Hockey League with the Washington Capitals. The fuck is going on right now? What the fuck is going on?
Did I have any of this coming? No, God, no. Fuck. I didn't see this coming.
This is absolutely bananas. This is crazy, man.
And you know, the craziest part about it is that they kind of did this last season in the North Division, and everyone was like, it's because you play in the Canadian Division.
Yeah, this is more impressive, in my opinion.
It's way more impressive. In this stretch, they have gone up against teams that they, you know, good teams in the league. They beat Boston. They beat Tampa. They've played, two back-to-backs, won them both. It's just flew out to California, dominated the teams in the California. What else could they do? You have throw a rookie in net. He wins three. One of them a shutout. It's just unbelievable. Your goaltender is the best in the league. He's the number one goalie in the league. If the season ended today, the Vezina Trophy would go to Jack Campbell. It's fucking crazy.
No, it is.
And crazy. You don't even have anybody in the top five in scoring in the league.
No, I know it's crazy, but like, so including the California trip, and then I'm throwing the Islanders game in there too. So like the total 4-game road trip, like outscored their opponents 18-4, 18-4. Dude, that's just fucking nuts. So all of a sudden now the puck's going in the net. Like you said, the goaltending is as good as anybody in the fucking league.
Yeah. And the best, it's the best goaltending league. Even when they throw in their backup, they're still winning. And he's not even their backup. They're just taking a chance on a rookie. Think about this. Start of the year, Jack Campbell was going, big guns weren't going, fourth line was scoring. And then Jack Campbell was going and the big guys were going, but you weren't getting any secondary scoring.
Yeah.
Now you have all cylinders pumping. You're getting secondary scoring. You're getting points from your defense. Your big boys are on fire and your goaltending's on fire. It's a recipe for number one in the NHL.
It's crazy, man. So yeah, it's crazy. Anything else you want to, like, I guess we'll just touch on everything as we get going with the recap here, but anything else off the top? Like,
yeah, still no goals. Nick Ritchie.
I wasn't sure if we were going to get through a podcast without talking about him, but no, we won't, because I was going to bring him up later anyway.
So. I knew you were.
Only mildly, like real mild. But
is he the only guy on the team without a goal? That's played regularly?
Yeah, like I think they've got some guys on the back end that don't, but out of the forwards.
I mean, out of the forwards who have played the majority of the games this year.
He's played every fucking game. Every fucking game. No. He banged in an assist though on the road trip.
Oh, okay. Well, better extend him then.
Along with his, anyway, I'll get into him slightly, but only just slightly a little bit later. We'll get to Nick Ritchie later. Don't you fucking worry. Don't think twice about that. But anyway, so let's start the roadie off in Los Angeles, California. And
everybody had a notion.
Dude, like a couple things off the top here. We'll save Bieber for number two. The first thing I'd like to mention going into this game is did you watch these games? Because they were on so late. Were you watching them live or no?
No, I watched the Anaheim game live, obviously, because it was on at 8. And I watched the first period of the other two.
Okay, so you want to talk about the Kings buckets for a second?
Oh, my God.
That was something.
The Chrome Domes?
Dude, that was fucking something else. You know what?
If you wear that fucking bucket, you deserve to lose 6-2.
Oh, my God. What are they? Okay, Vegas has got a fucking...
Could you imagine the uproar if Toronto came out with a bright, bright chrome blue bucket?
Not a fucking chance. No.
The fans would be like, holy fuck, no. Like, people would leave the arena. Be like, I'm not watching this.
They were wearing their old school jerseys from the 90s. I love those old school Kings jerseys, the black and white ones. Like with like Tony Gretzky days, but just wear fucking bucket. Dude, what they should have did was have the whole team wear fucking Gretzky Jofas.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Now that would have been something, right? Like, Jofas. Visor Jofas. Or visor optional.
There'd probably be about 7 concussions on the team because I don't think Jofa protects the head at all.
No, not at all. Not
it would look bit. Good.
It would look good. There's no padding inside of Jofa whatsoever. It's just plastic.
It's like a fucking kid's toy helmet that you wear on your head. It's a joke.
But that still would have been better.
He even said that, like, he cannot believe he survived without a head injury wearing that helmet.
Oh, fuck it.
But I am totally on board. If they want to ditch the chrome buckets and go Jofas,
anything would have been better than that. Like, Vegas wears an ugly third. Like, I think they wear a gold one sometimes too, and it is brutal.
That started it. Vegas started the whole thing with their third jersey in the gold chrome. But I get it. They're an expansion team, and they're trying different things. But why LA?
Yeah.
Why LA? I mean, LA's got history. LA's won the Stanley Cup. They've had Gretzky on their team. They don't need to wear chrome domes.
No, I don't get it. What is the whole thing with it? I honestly do not understand it. I don't get it.
But just keep it in California. Don't bring it anywhere near the Toronto Maple Leafs.
But What I did like about this game, and we forgot to touch on this earlier in the season too, when the Bruins came into town and they spanked Boston back at home earlier in November, the Bruins were wearing their alternative jersey that night in Toronto at Scotiabank, and the Leafs wore their, they wore home whites. They wore their whites at home for the first time in fucking a long fucking time, and they pounded the Bruins at home. Here we go in LA. They're on the road, starting off the roadie. LA's wearing their vintage old school whites at home. The Leafs put the blues on the road for a first time in a long time. I'm like, when I saw that in warm up, I'm like, oh man, I love the blue look on the fucking road. I love it. And
yeah, I kind of miss the wearing white too at home and wearing your dark color on the road.
I do too, man. Switch it back. I think like it just has such a retro feel to it and look to it when they're wearing the blues on the road.
You watch the majority of your team, the majority of the games you watch are probably home games, right? So your team plays 40 whatever games at home, and you get to see all the other colors of the teams come into your building. Yeah. Like, you always wear white, but you get to see the red of Detroit, and like, I love the Chicago Blackhawks uniform, and Boston Bruins, the black. When everyone comes in just wearing nothing a white like, jersey, nothing, it's not the
nothing,
same.
Dude, nothing like a Blackhawk. Nothing like a Blackhawk.
Good old Blackhawk.
Love those Blackhawks.
I do love that jersey.
No, same here. I love it. It's one of the best jerseys in professional sports.
Oh yeah, I watch the old hockey sometimes on YouTube, like the old Leaf games, and I do love the home white and the dark colors, but didn't really matter. I think the Leafs could have worn anything and they would have won that game the way they were playing.
I was dating a girl once that liked the Blackhawks. That did not work out. That did not end up working out. She loved the Blackhawks.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I could not help her there. But anyway, we will go because to
at that time. They were a lot bigger.
Oh, Blackhawks were the Blackhawks were everywhere. They were pounding it every night. You could not lose with if you had a Blackhawk. Like, no question about it.
I know you would pick up the paper in the morning, Blackhawk. You turn on the Blackhawks.
I am not afraid to say I lost a girl because of a Blackhawk. So it
happens to the best of us, man.
It was very unfortunate, but unfortunate set of circumstances. Nobody's fault. Nobody's fault. So Justin Bieber, come on, man. The Biebs is in the house. Now, for some reason, I thought Bieber didn't drink. I know, like, he married a Christian. He dumped Selena Gomez or whatever her name is.
Okay, what are you talking about? Every time he's at a Leaf game, he's half in the bag.
Okay, I thought he married one of the Baldwin, like,
I know. He married
daughters. And she's like Haley Baldwin. And she's like super religious. And like, I think she kind of got him going to church and all that. Like, whatever. That's cool. If that's what you want to do. But I just, for some reason, thought he had gotten sober, like didn't drink, whatever. But then he's like in LA pounding Bud Lights. I'm like, okay, well, I guess fucking that's not a thing. So yeah, I don't know why I thought
last
that.
Time he was at the, well, I guess it was pre-COVID, but he was at the Leaf game in Toronto. He was like, he was ripped.
So I saw Bieber and I'm like, okay, like this could be a little something here. Like maybe mustache, we can still call him that for a couple more days. Well, at least on this podcast. I thought maybe mustache, and this LA game also was a national broadcast in the States because this was, I believe, Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday in the United States. So I think this was like a nationally televised broadcast in the United States, even though it was a late game on the East Coast. But so I had a little feeling like, I don't know, maybe mustache and some of the boys like Willie and shit were going to go all Hollywood on this shit. Bieber in the house and like they're in LA. So I just kind of had a feeling going into this game. And fuck, man, like they just go into LA and put the fucking boots to them. Like they just fucking buried them, smoked them. Like,
yeah. The funny thing is that like it all kind of unraveled in the second period, but you're talking about Matthews and Nylander and they played great games. Like I recorded the games and then I watched them later. But I found it was the other guys who kind of went Hollywood. I thought Michael Bunting had a great game. Rasmus Sandin had 3 assists.
Sandin had a great road trip in general. Like,
yeah, Pierre Engvall got off the Schneider, the gooseneck, popped with an assist. Okay,
let's be honest here.
Like Matthews had a goal and assist, but that's what Matthews does.
We would have to go back and look at this. Okay, like the Nick Ritchie thing, not so much. But how many times when we do hot in the slot, the dude who we pick to hit the showers rebounds like almost immediately and starts doing something like contributing to the team? We would have to go back and look at our track record on that. But I think
so far this year, take out Nick Ritchie. We did Mitch Marner. He's bounced back pretty good.
Yep.
We did Pierre Engvall.
Mm-hmm.
He's bounced back pretty good. Anyone else that's bounced back?
We've only done it a couple times. And I've picked Ritchie like at least two or three times, I think.
Yeah, so. I picked Mitch at the start and he's bounced back. And I don't think I picked Justin Hall yet. He's been on the tip of my tongue, but I haven't.
There's been no defenseman as of right now.
But if you go back to last year, it happens all the time. It happens all the time.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So anyway, like Kerfoot opens the scoring in LA in the first period. There's 1-0 Buds going into the second, and the Kings tied it. But then Engvall scored. Oh, man. Here we go. It's right now. This is it, isn't it? Right here. It's already. We're already at the first of three, aren't we? I think this is it right here.
This show's going to be mostly tip-ins.
Oh, dude, like we got a triple tip. Like this is the thing. We've got a tip in every fucking game. But I'm pretty sure this is the opening one. In the second period, Engvall scored, Tavares scored, Matthews scored, Spezza scored, Bunting scored early in the third. Leafs win it 6-2. Jack played okay. Like he was decent enough. The Kings had 30 shots. He made 30 saves. But
32 shots, 30 saves.
32 shots against 30 saves. So let's get right to it. Willie Nylander is in the slot. He's getting ready to rip it home. And what do we got? The first of three.
It's tip number one.
Just the tip.
Perhaps play a little game called Just the Tip. Just for a second, just to see how it feels.
So how did you see this?
Dude. Okay. We got Mustache, the new Mustache, I guess. We'll see in a couple days. But the taking over Mustache, Nylander, he's in the slot. And we got some very... There's an underrated person involved in all of these tips, I believe, this week, and it's TJ Brody. I think he's in on all three of them, like secondary.
Why do you think that is?
Well,
What does he have now that he didn't have in October?
Yeah, well, no shit.
Exactly.
Beautiful handlebar
mustache.
It was Brody to Nylander. Nylander rips it. Tavares tips it. Nylander rips it. Tavares tips it. Okay.
But like a broken record.
We got no shit. But TJ Brody, we'll call him mustache number three right, as of right now.
You know how confusing it's going to be if we just say mustache and a number?
Well,
we got to call guys by their names.
Okay. TJ Brody.
We can't just mustache. Be like mustache number three okay. to mustache number six to the original mustache to the new mustache in okay. the net.
Well, mustache number one is Austin. Number two is Willie. I think number three is Lilligren.
We'll just say their names and then we'll say they got a great stash.
Okay. Well, mustache Brody gets it to mustache Nylander.
We don't all live in your head. We can't follow.
Okay. So it's mustache Brody to mustache Nylander and he rips it. And JT, I mean, this was fucking fast as lightning, man. How would you even describe this? This was cool. Oh, fuck, man. This was like shot out of a cannon. Tavares says, thank you very much. I'll just get my stick on that. No problem. Yeah.
Sometimes I watch JT in his tips and I don't even know how he does it.
Dude,
the hand is eye coordination. He can just, he gets wood on it no matter what.
He is the king. And look, 90% of the time, brother, this is it. It's JT. 90% of the time, 100%.
90% of the time, 100% JT.
Johnny Tip in Toronto, no surprise. He starts us off, and he had a fucking great week too. A bunch of guys had fucking great weeks, I was loving it right away. When I see a tip in, I'm like, this is gonna be a good trip. Game one in California, I see a tip in immediately. I'm like, this is gonna be a trip to remember, and it was the first of three, just the tips.
So. They end up winning 6-2. Basically just dominate. A little revenge for the loss. Back in Toronto, they lost 5-1 to the Kings.
Yeah, it was basically a reversal. Exactly.
Yeah, and really, that was one of those, like, I think I called it a trap game when we were recording, where it was a Monday night, and you're on a hot streak, and you kind of overlooked it. if they just keep playing like this, I don't see teams like LA's basically a 500 team.
Yeah.
I don't see 500 and below teams. If you play like that every night, I don't see 500 and below teams beating you this season.
Yeah, like, I agree. The way they're playing is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just you're going to run into really good teams and you're going to run into really good goalies and stuff. But on a night-to-night basis, fuck, man, you could steamroll a lot of teams playing the way they're playing. But they roll into San Jose.
Well, dude, listen, hang on. Just you touched on the Kings game where they lost 5-1 at home earlier in the month. That was the 8th of November. And then they go in on Thanksgiving Eve and beat the Kings 6-2. So they lost 5-1 to the Kings at home, like you said. They go into LA and they beat them 6-2 like 2 weeks later. Like they kind of did if you're listening and not watching, like what they kind of did there in that situation from that first game that they lost 5-1 to the game that they beat them 6-2, like they were kind of like a 6 in the first game. And then they kind of moved to like a 9 in the second game. Like it was like a 6 to a 9 kind of, right? That's kind of what I like. They were like a 6 in the first game and they were kind of like a 9. Like they switched position.
Flipped it.
Yeah, they flipped it. They flipped LA over on their backs. And it was like a 6 and a 9. That's how I saw that anyway. I don't know.
You stumble and fall. And you're on your hands and knees, and there's a person behind you. But the next time you get up, they fall on their hands and knees, and you're behind them.
A little bit of like a leapfrogging situation.
Leapfrog. You just want to be the one in behind, coming from behind. You don't want to be the person getting leapfrogged.
No, if you reverse the leapfrog, you would have a close to a 6-9 situation there too.
The reversal leapfrog.
Yeah, now that's something that would like that takes serious skill.
Yeah, we tried that in elementary school. we got banned. You could not do reverse leapfrog anymore in the schoolyard. It got banned.
Dude, I fucking tried it last weekend. It was not working out too well.
It happens.
Yeah,
you got to be careful with the reverse leapfrog.
Yeah, it's just too. I don't move it like that well. Like I'm getting too old for that shit. I'll just lay down and let's have it.
Just a dead frog.
That's right.
Just lay down.
Okay, so
San Jose.
Now, my God, man, I was hoping so much going into this game. I was hoping, and I don't even know if he still fucking works for this organization, but I think that he does. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, are we going to have like Willie Styles in the same building as Reach Dog for this fucking game for like the first time ever? Have they ever been? Could you imagine like the coming together of Willie Styles and Mike Ricci face to face? Could you imagine?
Oh, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine.
Was he there? Was he there? I didn't see him. I was looking. I could not see him.
I don't know. Have you seen the Avengers movies?
Thoroughly. I've seen like bits and pieces.
Spoiler alert, but the movie's like 3 years old. But in the movie Endgame, the last Avengers movie, Captain America has...
Is Jennifer Lawrence in those?
No,
movies?
She's not in it. But Thor has a massive hammer, and only
yes, he does.
And only Thor has the power and has the heart to hold the hammer and to use the hammer. Nobody else can hold it. But
I imagine he lays that fucking hammer down.
He knocks so many people out with that hammer. It's just ridiculous.
I bet he does.
In the movie, Thor gets like thrown away and his hammer goes one way and he goes the other. And he's trying to like get the hammer.
He didn't have a tight grip.
No, he didn't have a tight grip. And anyway, he's trying to get the hammer to come to him and he's about to get killed. And Captain America, all of a sudden you see the hammer moving and the hammer goes flying into this hand and it's Captain America. And you're like, holy shit, Captain America has the power to handle Thor's hammer. But that's how I feel if Willie and Reach Dog were to meet. It'd be like Captain America and Thor and the one hammer. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's exactly.
I think Willie has the right analogy. I think Willie has the power to take over the Reach Dog Hammer.
Oh, that's yeah. I think he does too, and that's hard. That is some special power. Right,
it's like Thor's hammer. Not everyone can handle it. So
you know, I don't know if Richie was there or not, but man, like I don't know if he's still. I don't know if he still works for them. Is he scouting for them? Does he not even work for them anymore? I don't know what Richie's all about.
Oh. Fuck, I can't believe I didn't mention this when we were talking about Reach Dog. Somebody who listens to our podcast here in Peterborough told me he lives here.
Richie lives in Peterborough.
Well, he lives on, I think on Stony or one of the lakes nearby.
Okay, that's close enough. That's close enough.
He's in the Peterborough area.
We can go out there, no problem.
There you go. So if anybody in this area, in Peterborough, Kawartha area, knows Richie, Mike Richie, please email
or knows somebody who knows him. Just get us in contact somehow with somebody that can get us in contact with Mike Richie. Please. That's all we need. Because his social media, fucking crickets, man. I can't find a Richie on Facebook.
He doesn't do Instagram. He doesn't do Twitter. He
cannot fucking find this guy anywhere. Cannot
he just drinks him. Beers, lights fires, and wears flip-flops.
Hey, man, I love that. I fucking love
He's people like that are so self-confident and so comfortable in their skin. I love it. What happened in San Jose?
Okay, so the Leafs roll in here, and I'm right away, top of my fucking mind, is are we going to see a Richie sighting? Did not happen, but I think someone else was thinking the same thing, and it happened to be Willie Styles, Willie Nylander himself, because 32 seconds in, he looked like Mike Richie flying down the fucking ice on a breakaway. His hair just flowing lusciously behind him in the San Jose, California wind. And he buries it 32 seconds in to make it 1-0. I think I saw him do a little look around up into the press boxes looking for fucking Richie's hair. Couldn't find it.
But just nodded.
Yeah, like he kind of just like, how'd that one look, Reach Dog? Richie probably fucking flew
great
off
move.
His
Oh, great move. He went inside, outside, backhand, in the net. James Reimer in goal for the San Jose Sharks.
James, not a great night for our boy Rhymes. Not a good night.
No, he did not have a good night.
But Tavares picks up an assist on that, and Willie gets on the board with his 8th of the season right away. So it's 1-0 Leafs. Sharks tied it. And then here we go. Here we fucking go, man. It's just like this. I don't know if this has ever happened before. I don't know. Like, did we have a quadruple tip? Was that in the preseason this year? I don't think in the regular season we've ever had a quadruple tip.
We had like 4 tips in a week.
And 2 of them were bunting, I think. Or 3 of them were bunting.
Yeah, but it was preseason, so I wouldn't count it.
You wouldn't count it. We're getting high. This is
California road trip, American Thanksgiving. Yeah, this counts. This counts. So it's time for the second time tonight.
Not the last.
Just the tip.
Perhaps play a little game called Just the Tip. Just for a second, just to see how it feels.
So here we go.
This was fucking awesome, man. And look, if you want to start to crawl just a little bit out of the doghouse here, Nick Richie, okay? He kind of makes a nice little play at the blue line, gets the puck to camp. So Richie's got an assist on a tip in. So that's just getting a little time. He's got like a little pinky toe out of the doghouse right now.
Yeah,
because he's involved. A little bit of a pinky toe.
Not much.
No, just a tiny little bit. Just
a pinky toe.
Just a little bit. And Richie gets it to camp at the blue line. Of course, fucking camp is like, he sees Simmons like bulleting to the fucking net. Camp knows what to do. You don't think Camp's been in this situation a time or two? Camp knows exactly what to do.
Yeah. Camp played for the Blackhawks.
I'm pretty sure you saw. That's right. Exactly. Perfect. Exactly. 100%. So I'm pretty sure he saw Simmons kind of, he had his stick, he had his twig right in his hand with a good grip. And he kind of gave like, you know, if you're listening to this, like he kind of gave like a little bit of like a jerk. Like Camp was looking at him and Simmons kind of was like, you know, come on, I'm going to tip, like put it right here. This is where I want it. Like, you know how a batter in baseball gives like you know, he gives a couple pre-swings there. Like
this, yeah, he always kind of sets the bat in the sweet spot and then puts it on his shoulder. But this was, this wasn't like a soft. I know what you mean.
No, he was like here. Yeah, but a batter is just setting up with like right here. That's where I want to give it to me. Right here, right here. But Simmons was doing that more aggressively, but
way
he's doing
more
this,
aggressive.
But it's still the same thing. Like right here, right here. Come on, come on. Give me the
Camp.
Oh,
he hit the bullseye.
Bullseye.
He hit the fucking bullseye.
Bullseye. What a fucking tip. Wayne Simmons' second goal of the season.
And he's been
first
buzzing.
Tipping. Oh, yeah.
He's buzzing. Well, he deserved that tip.
Okay, so this is the thing. Cache's out, right? Cache doesn't play in the San Jose game. He doesn't play in the Anaheim game either. Little banged up. Little Cache. Little banged up. No doubt. The guy plays like a fucking animal, like you said, a bulldog. But so they switched it up. They put Simmons up there. And Semenov was in this game. He played on the fourth line. Not a great game for Semenov. Not a lot of Semenov there. But and he ended up coming out for Clifford in the Anaheim game. But anyway, Simmons, man, like, so he was getting more ice time. He was on the third line. And that he was looking good. Simmons has been looking good. And he knew exactly what to do. He told Camp exactly where to put it. Like you said, fucking bullseye. For a beautiful tip in. Simmons,
he got it.
Simmons' first tip in of the season. And that's tip number 2 of 3 on this week's episode. We've got one more very special one to come.
The best for last.
Holy moly.
The best for last.
What a tip. So that tip makes it.
We could say maybe the last furry tip.
Oh, shit. That's right. Hopefully not. But we got so up that tip by Simmons makes it 2-1 Leafs.
Yeah,
going into
and Reimer didn't have it. He didn't have a chance.
No, Reimer.
He didn't
a chance. You're not going to stand a chance on that.
No, when you've got Wayne Simmons and a former Blackhawk going at it for a big tip, you know the goalie. You might as well get out of the net.
No, that's 100% right. So anyway, that sweet tip in makes it 2-1 for the Leafs. They go to the second period and, you know, Matthews rips one home and Tavares puts another one fucking in to make it 4-1 Toronto Maple Leafs over the San Jose Sharks. That's all she fucking wrote. This Matthews goal here was a little bit, he's getting some interesting goals, eh? In and around the net. Like
not normal really, Austin Matthews.
No. Like, I wonder if that wrist is still a thing or what. Like, Austin's looking good. His game's looking good out there, but he's not ripping the puck like he used to.
Like, he is ripping it, but he hasn't scored that way.
When's the last time you saw him step over the blue line, kind of pull it back to his skates and rip
in the,
it like
in
a
the
wrist
Anaheim
shot.
Game. In the Anaheim game, he got it was a bad pass that on Anaheim's part, right to Austin Matthews, and he was in alone, and he ripped it, but he missed the net, and that's the thing. I've seen him hit some posts, but I've seen him miss the net a lot, and that's just not like Austin Matthews.
No,
he doesn't miss the net. Goalies stop him sometimes, but he, you know, missing the net by 5 feet or whatever, that's a Dion Phaneuf thing. That's not like Austin Matthews always hits the net. He's just hasn't done it, but he's scoring. So I guess that's all you can ask for.
Well, that's just it. He's still tied for him and Tavares are tied with 10 goals for the team lead. So yeah, he's still putting the puck in the net. If you can get the shot like back where he's hitting the net and whatever, then it's just going to be fucking lights out. But should also mention like Joseph Woll, huge in the third period. There was a sequence in that third period where Woll was just absolutely standing on his head. So now all of a sudden, Joseph Wall's confidence is just fucking through the fucking roof. The guy goes in, Keith gives him a couple extra starts, and he's just fucking killing it. Like all of a sudden now he talk about making the most of your fucking situation. Like now he's shown
35 saves and shut him down in the third period.
Which was the most impressive part about it was that when the Sharks were pressing and they needed big saves, Woll fucking stood on his head. Huge saves. So I don't know. A lot to like about Joseph Woll.
Before we go to the Anaheim game, does this bring in a backup goalie controversy? Like if Peter Mrazek's healthy and he comes in and isn't playing very good, do you go back to Joseph Woll?
Well, I would without hesitation, 100%.
But what do you do with that? You sign this guy.
I know.
Pay him on a multi-year contract.
I don't know. I think maybe what you do in this situation is, okay, you've seen what Wall can do. Like, does Wall get into another? They play another back-to-back, I think, next weekend. So if Mrazek isn't back and ready to go.
Yeah, like, they play Saturday and Sunday. What is with the Sunday game?
I know the Sunday games are fucking driving me mental, man. But especially
we had for the tip in don't like Sunday game.
No. Well, for it's fucking up our whole fucking schedule for doing these podcasts. But anyway.
Yeah, because we usually do them on Saturday or like one, Sunday.
Like one Sunday. Cool. What, like three in a fucking month? Like they're playing like every other Sunday.
I know. Anyway.
No, look, Mrazek, man. Okay, here's what I would say. I think the way that Joseph Wall has played in the three games that he has played probably shows the upper management that, like, okay, Hutchinson is not a thing anymore. So if we need a backup here, we can probably trust this guy. You know, like, he's our third guy right now. I think Mrazek, they're going to try to make it work. But we got to see what happens there. Maybe best case scenario is Mrazek comes back, because this guy's always injury fucking prone anyway. Like, maybe you want Mrazek playing well, and then you try to like deal him in the summer, if that makes any sense. And next to
and get I guess out- I guess in the playoffs, or getting into crunch time and in the playoffs, you kind of want a veteran goalie on the bench. Like, you probably don't want Joseph Wall.
Yeah.
In that situation, I would like to give him more before putting him in that situation. And totally agree. Let's say Campbell gets hurt in game two of the first round. You probably feel more confident in Peter Mrazek than Joseph Wall. That's a lot for a kid.
Sure. But dude, like, Mrazek hasn't even played two full fucking games this season. We're 23 games in or whatever. So how rusty is he going to like fucking be when he gets back? And so we'll see. But
how long till he gets hurt again?
Well, that's just the whole thing. If he goes down again,
weak groin.
That's what I'm saying. Like, best case scenario here is that he comes back, he plays well. Like, Jack's the clear cut number one here, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
But you give Mrazek some games. Hopefully he can like put a stretch together where he helps the team enough, can stay healthy. And I would still like try to move that in the summer and go with just get $4 million that they desperately need to spend elsewhere. If Wall looks like he can probably do an adequate job for a lot fucking less. Right. I don't know. That's where my heads are at on that. Like, what do you think? Like,
yeah, I think this is a mistake on management's part. I think it was an underestimate, and we don't know. I mean, Campbell's looked amazing, and I like, have no like, reason to doubt that he's going to,
sorry, Mrazek being a mistake. You mean that's
what yeah. You mean? I think they thought Campbell needed an understudy, like he needed a 1B, not a backup, but he needed someone to share the net with.
Yeah.
And I think what they're finding out is that Campbell can do this. Campbell can be the number one, and you can just have a backup. You don't need the other guy to play 35 games. Campbell could play maybe 50 games or 45 games and let the other guy play the rest, and I think Joseph Wall could do that. But they went out and they signed Mrazek, it's like they would split the time, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're
it was bad management. They underestimated Jack Campbell and they overestimated Peter Mrazek.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that. Before I forget, we might as well just, so we'll see what happens there. But like, I think you try to get Mrazek back, you try to get him looking as good as he can look, and then you try to move him the fuck out of town and spend that money elsewhere. That's best case scenario. Do you agree with that?
That would be amazing if they could do that.
So
get whatever you can get. I don't care.
Yeah, just get the money back. That's all I want. Like, I don't care about getting anything back in return for him. Just clear the fucking money. That's all I'm saying. But quick shout out before we go to the Ducks game here.
All right.
Since we were talking about management.
Yeah.
We got a little birthday boy today.
Oh.
You know whose birthday it is today?
It's Kyle Dubas, because him and my wife have the same birthday.
Oh, well, there you go. Doobie doobie doo. Happy birthday, Dubes.
They're the exact same age. No.
Look.
He's a year older. He's a year older.
Looks like you might be sticking around after all, Dubes. Lucky you. Because, man, that hot seat is not so hot right now, is it?
No, when your team's playing like this and you're first in the NHL, usually the general manager job's safe.
Yeah.
Unlike in Montreal.
Oh, man.
Where Mark Bergevin got the what a shit show.
Dude, cup final, riding high. Like, and then here we
5 months later.
20 games into the new season, gone. Like, literally, from the best playoff run the Habs have had since fucking 1993.
Tight plaid coats, long hair. Dude. Oh, out on the street.
Oh, he'll bounce. Dude, that guy's fucking bar play must be ridiculous. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. He probably tied one online. When was he fired? Yesterday?
Yeah.
Or was it Sunday, I think. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday. I think it was yesterday. I don't know. Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, there's a couple things we should touch on before the Anaheim game. Bergevin being fired. Crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy. Like you say, 5 months ago, they're in the Stanley Cup final. And
first GM fired. It's not even Christmas.
First GM fired is Montreal. Montreal's just, I can't even explain what's going on there. Montreal and Vancouver, both. I look at them both and I'm like, I don't get it.
But Vancouver, man, might be worse, honestly.
Vancouver's worse because they don't have the injuries stuff to fall back on. Like,
that's right.
You have your stars in the lineup.
Yeah, at least Montreal, they're missing Weber. They're missing Price. Like, there's things, you know, going on there. Vancouver.
But let's be honest. If the Leafs beat Montreal in the first round last year, Bergevin probably got fired after that.
100%.
Like, he was on the hot seat.
You're right.
Long before this happened.
Yeah,
also, you're right. Lemieux bites Tkachuk. Did you see this?
Yeah, I know, man.
In the fight?
Yeah. The comments from Tkachuk were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's like, nobody likes this guy. Nobody wants to play with this guy. He's a brickhead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Who does that?
I don't know.
Bites somebody during
a fight? Well, if Tkachuk's sticking his hand in his fucking mouth, like, I don't know what the situation was. Like, was Tkachuk, like, sticking his hand in his mouth?
No, if you watch the slow motion, they're just, like, falling to the ice after a fight.
Was Lemieux's mouth, like, going for his hand, like, to try to bite it without it?
Yeah, his hand was near his face, and then he just took a big bite out of it.
Just fucking dumb. And we got Panarin throwing fucking mitts around. Oven mitts.
Oh, yeah, fucking Panarin.
Bread is too hot. He's throwing his oven mitts around.
I hate that shit because I get it. He's pissed and whatever, but it makes you look weak and stupid when you throw.
Did you hear what he said when he was asked about it?
No. What did Marchand say?
I don't know. Oh fuck, I don't know what he said. But Panarin I think he got fined or something.
Like $5,000. Not much.
No, and so Panarin was like, Panarin sees nothing wrong with it, whatever. It's just throwing a glove. Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, just that when you're on the bench, you're going to, like, what the fuck does that even accomplish?
It doesn't accomplish anything. That's what I mean. Like, throwing your glove, Marchand was just like, why? Okay, great. You threw your glove at me.
Anyway, Panarin, after, like, he got fined, was like, I'm not worried about the fine. Like, my GM paid me, like, $11 million. Like, he just so nonchalantly was like, I don't give a fucking shit. They want to find me, find me. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm rich.
He's like, I got tons of oven mitts. Don't worry.
Speaking of putting things in your mouth, I went to the dentist the other day. What kind of toothbrush do you use?
I just use a regular, like, old school toothbrush. I don't have
like medium. Soft?
Soft. I have sensitive teeth, so I use soft bristles. Yeah, soft. I like it soft.
Well, I like it hard.
Oh, and hard is too.
The aggressive. Girl said to me, she's like, so what kind of brush do you use? I'm like, I said the exact same thing as you. I'm like, oh, just a regular, like, Colgate brush. She's like, yeah, but soft, medium, hard. And I'm like,
please.
And I'm like, hard. Hard. And she's like, oh, you don't want to put a hard brush in your mouth. Well, I'm like, well, I really enjoy a hard brush in my mouth. And she's like, you probably want it soft. And I'm like, I don't think a soft one in my mouth really does anything. I really
did. She give you a soft one. Did she give you a soft one to try?
No, she didn't give me. Yeah, actually, she did. Yes, she did. But I didn't. I didn't try.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right now. Once you try a soft one,
I said to her, I'm like, what do you use? And she's like, soft. And I'm like, really? Have you tried a hard one in your mouth?
What did she say?
She said it's very bad for your teeth. I'm like,
well. I bet it is, but that's not the question I asked you. So yes, she. Yes, she has, or yes, she hasn't.
She just said, I'm like, what do you use? She's like, soft. I'm like, well, have you tried a hard one? She's like,
and then
it's very bad. It's very bad for your teeth.
So clearly, yes, she has.
She's definitely tried a hard one, and she prefers a soft one.
Okay, so don't forget to give me the number to your dentist as soon as we're done this podcast, so I can go for a little visit and see what the whole hard, soft, medium situation is all about for myself.
Right. Get your teeth checked out, and then figure out if it should be hard, soft, or medium.
I just want to go to have the conversation.
Maybe medium's the way to go because it's not super hard, but it's soft.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, well, fair enough.
Anyway, I just thought I would throw that out there. Made me think of that with Kachuk.
Was she like a younger, older?
I actually know who she is. Our kids went to daycare together. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Okay. All right.
Nice lady.
Okay. Well, you know, she clearly has had a hard one in her mouth. Does not like it.
No. Absolutely. And the vibrating one? No.
No, don't put that in your mouth.
That's what she told me. You know, the one you turn on?
Yeah. So now that I think about it, I don't really want to go to this dentist. I don't think I would like that doesn't sound very much fun.
No.
She doesn't like it hard. She doesn't like vibration. She just wants soft and smooth. That's it? No.
Soft and smooth all the time.
That's not really my cup of tea, but.
No, I know. You mix it up.
I do like a soft brush, but in other people's mouths.
So the Leafs go into Anaheim. Good segue.
You know who else? Oh, quack, 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 motherfucker. Emilio Estevez. Where was he? I guarantee you he was sniffing around for Flying V all fucking night long in Anaheim when the Leafs were in town. Emilio Estevez. He was cooking up some type of Flying V. If you watch
the new Mighty Ducks show, he's the Zamboni driver.
That blows my mind.
Maybe during intermission he rides around the Zamboni.
Why isn't he coaching?
He bought the arena. In the new show, he bought the arena. So he's not the coach. He's like the Zamboni driver, and one of the moms is the coach, and she doesn't know what she's doing. And then you know Emilio, one of the single moms coaching the team. He's lurking in the corner and he's coming
flying
over
V, her flying V.
Yeah, he's coming over her shoulder. He's like, you should try a Flying V. And she's like, what's a Flying V? And he's like, just
come here,
he writes it, he writes it down on the paper, and the kids win the game. He's like, I told you.
So what is he, like professional Zamboni driver? Is he still doing the lawyer thing?
He runs the arena in the new show. So he drives the Zamboni. He does everything around the arena.
He quit being a fucking lawyer for like.
He quit being a lawyer in the first Mighty Ducks
movie. Oh, did he? I thought he still dabbled. I thought they made him do it.
Never dabbled in law anymore after that.
Anyway, well, look, I thought that like we were going to have a Ricci sighting this week. I thought we were going to see Emilio Estevez. Like we had this set up for like this whole trip was going to be the trip of a lifetime. We should have fucking went on this trip.
Three big Leaf wins, Mike Ricci, Emilio Estevez.
Throw in a little Bieber bash. What do you think happened after the LA game? That was Wednesday night, the biggest bar night in fucking the United States.
I heard them talking about it on Overdrive.
Dude, what do you think went down there?
They were debating on whether Sheldon Keefe walked in the dressing room before the game and said, if we win this tonight, the plane is staying at the airport. And you guys can have a night here in LA.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. 100% man.
Why not? The way they've been playing, why not?
No, of course.
They'll tell you that they didn't, but they did.
Okay, well, like all business all the time on this trip. Like that's what they're quoting to the media, right? Yeah, all business, my fucking ass. You're in California.
With Justin Bieber.
Yeah, like get fucking real. The guy's got fucking 300 million sheets in the fucking bank. Like... Yeah, no,
he could get you into any bar anywhere in that city. Right. Like with a snap of a finger, you're in the VIP lounge.
That's right.
And you're going to be like, nope, back to the hotel.
Come on. Hey, Sandine, Lilligren, you guys want to come out and take a little sniff with me? Let's go, boys. I'll hook you up. Let's go.
You imagine Liljegren's mustache in the VIP room?
Look out, bud. It would literally be like Magnum P. Like he's wearing like a nice like collared shirt,
Hawaiian shirt.
Like, fuck, man. He probably carries like a fake badge on him just to make it even more dangerous. Like he flashes it like he's a private detective. Like, yeah.
I could see that.
Oh my god.
Can I buy you a drink? No, I'm okay. You're under arrest.
He pulls the badge out. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so anyway, yeah, I'm sure Timothy they had a good Lilligren, time
PI.
Oh, dude. I wonder what his middle name is. We got to hunt that down.
It's so Magnum. Timothy Magnum Lilligren, PI.
You know what else? Okay. Okay. Magnum. As soon as you throw out, like, if you throw out, like, that your Magnum is anywhere in your name at a bar with hot chicks,
you better be packing.
It's like the deal is sealed. The deal is fucking sealed. What's that? Timothy Magnum Lilligren? Magnum is your middle name.
He's like, yeah.
Call the Uber. Let's go. Let's go.
The girl. Out of here. The girl will pay for the Uber to take you back to your own hotel.
100%.
Because you're Timothy Magnum.
Dude, like, we might have to start calling him Magnum now. He's got the mustache. Like,
holy shit. What do the initials Timothy Magnum Lilligren make?
TML.
Destiny.
Yeah. Destiny. It is Destiny.
Destiny. Yeah.
It is Destiny.
Timothy Magnum Lilligren was brought here to bring the Stanley Cup home.
I think so.
TML.
Dude, TML. Imagine he scores like the game winner of like in this cup final. Like, what wouldn't that? Fuck. Legend, we're talking here.
We're in the crowd with our Magnum signs and he's looking up like, what the fuck does Magnum mean?
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Like, Wafflegate? We'll have a fucking Magnum gate. We'll start launching fucking the large Magnums on the ice and like, not like waffles.
Just Hawaiian shirts?
No, like Magnum. Fucking the biggest condoms. Yeah, the biggest condoms you can possibly purchase. Magnum. We'll just launch him every time he does something good. It's just Magnum on the ice. And he just loves it. Like he's like, he picks it up. Like, yeah, I'll use that puppy later. Yeah. Golden. Thanks, boys.
Let's move on, we're
in Anaheim here. I'm thinking we're gonna see Emilio Estevez because it was a hot fucking night in Anaheim, California, and I just thought we would get a little look at the Flying V. Didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen. A little disappointed, but
you want to know what did fucking happen? 8 minutes into the first period, mustache TJ Brody. Sorry, Bunting. Bunting, no mustache. The brunt to mustache TJ Brody. He lets her rip. Everyone's thinking it's his goal, but for the third and final time tonight, folks.
Just the tip.
Perhaps play a little game called Just the Tip. Just for a second, just to see how it feels.
This could be the last Austin Matthews mustache tip of the year.
Okay, now hold on just 1 second. He gave an interview with Gord Miller in the first intermission. Did you catch it?
I did, yeah.
Oh, no, that wasn't the one. He did an interview.
I think it was the Gord Miller interview.
Okay, that's not what I was going to reference. Or maybe it was. I think Gord Miller asked him about the mustache coming off. I think right at the end of it, didn't he? I think he did. And. Yep. I'm pretty sure Austin's answer was, I think Gord Miller was like, are you sad that it's coming off, blah, blah, blah. And Austin was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to miss it, but, you know, hopefully it won't take me too long to grow it back. I'm pretty sure that it was something along those lines. Hopefully it won't be too long until I get it back, I grow it back. So that was very promising. Okay.
Did he wink in the camera after?
No.
Because a wink means it's coming back.
Well, it was a grinny smirk. Like it was almost like a wink and a gun, but it didn't quite get there. Didn't quite get there, but it was close. Like, I think he thought about it. He was taking the headset off. He was grinning. So I think that like it's coming back. I think we'll see it soon. Like it's going to go away for a little bit, but we're going to see it again very soon. But from what he said in that interview, but you're right. So as of right now, this is it. Movember is over. November is over.
So how did the tip go?
Okay, well, the Brunt gets it to Mustache Brody. Brody fucking peppers it on net. Yeah,
I thought Brody scored.
I thought it like hit the crossbar and like went in.
And that's how you know, everybody, that's how you know it's a good tip. When you think the person who shot it scored.
That's right.
That's
right.
When you know.
Those are the best. Those are the best.
That's tips. When you know that is that's someone who knows a thing or two about a tip.
That's right. That's right. So look, man, he was
sleight of hand magician. Oh, fuck.
Right in front of the net, like Austin's making like a new home in front of the net, and he just fucking unbelievable. Like Brody ripped that fucker, an absolutely aggressive shot, cannon from the point, a fucking rocket blaster, and Mustache is like, nope, like that's it, yeah. Just a little bit of a little flick. Loose grip on that one.
It's not the first time in history two Mustaches have teamed up to score.
No, that's absolutely right.
That has happened, I don't know,
and just to go back, and this was a gorgeous tip. Like, this was the first goal of the game.
It was
so,
a hard tip, but it was a sneaky tip. But it was great.
Once this went in, this made it 1-0. I'm like, okay, fuck. They've got tips in three straight games. As soon as that went in and it was a tip in, I'm like, this game's over. This game is fucking over.
Just went to bed. Maybe like, that's why you didn't see Emilio. Maybe he was in the building.
Oh, fuck.
He saw the tip and he's like, there's no way Anaheim has a chance. And they're like, what do you mean? It's only 1-0. And he's like, did you see that tip?
Dude, when our luck is running three games in a row, three tips in a row, I'm like, yeah, this puppy's over. Good night right now. So I just want to say before we close up the final segment of just the tip this week, like it's been nothing but just the tips this week.
Crazy tips.
But I just want to say, and this is very important, don't ever forget this, okay? On all three of these tips this week, the Tavares tip in Los Angeles, the Simmons tip in San Jose, and now the Matthews tip in Anaheim, all three of those tips, there was a Mustache involved.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Mustache
was involved.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, hang on. Like, I don't know about the Simmons ones for sure because the assists went to Camp and Richie, but I'm pretty sure right before Richie touched the puck, it was Brody. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty fucking sure.
Yeah, you're right. Brody was in on it, a Mustache on every tip. You're right.
So that's like the biggest thing to take away from all three of these tips is that a Mustache involved somewhere along the line on all three of those tips. What a week for tip-ins. Like maybe the best week we've ever had. Probably the best week we've ever had for this show as far as tip-ins. Three is unbelievable.
I mean, you can't complain. They're playing unreal. They're winning like crazy. The goaltending's been unbelievable. There's so many Mustaches. And we're getting tip-ins almost every night.
This is like all-time high.
We are at an all-time high.
So to finish up the Anaheim game, Bunting ends up scoring to make it 2-0. Kerfoot gets on the board. Kerfoot had a fucking good trip. Bunting had a good trip. Simmons had a good trip. The list goes on and on. Simmons scores again later in the game, and Nylander gets an empty netter from Kerfoot. They kind of played fucking tag, and it ended up with Nylander putting it in. They beat the Ducks. The Leafs beat the Ducks 5-1, and that's all she wrote. 3-0 on the trip. Well, 3-0 in California. Take all the fucking points. Quick milestone. Forgot to mention this off the top. Jason Spezza played his, I believe, 1,200th career game against the Anaheim Ducks on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening. So shout out Spets. We love Jason Spezza on this fucking podcast big time.
Yeah, Spezza is...
Man, that's a hell of a lot of games.
Love I think, having Spezza on the team.
I think they said that only 117 players have played that many games or more in the history of the league. I think I might be wrong on that. But
Spezza's been around a long time.
No, to play 1,000 games in the league is incredible. It's incredible, right? 1,200 plus? Dude.
And he's still going, still looking good.
Yeah, big time.
Congrats, Spezza. Always, so, always welcome on the tip in Maple
Leafs. Oh, love, absolutely fucking love Jason Spezza. So yeah, he hits a milestone. And a couple quick things then, like a great, like we said a bunch here, great, absolutely great month for the Leafs, but a great week in California. Absolutely great. Little, just going back to the goalies for a second, we did see a little taste of load management here on this trip. Like Wall gets the, okay, in the back-to-back games coming off of last weekend against Pittsburgh and
yeah, the New York Islanders. There were no back-to-backs.
No, I know. So Wall, in the last four games, Campbell played two and Wall played two. So we are seeing a little bit of, like, now that the coaching staff has some confidence in Joseph Wall, they're like, okay, yeah, fuck, we'll play, we'll give Jack the night off in San Jose. So for the first, but this is the first time this season we have seen like, okay, we're going to start to manage the load here, right? This is the first time.
Yeah, they've been managing the load.
Well, they're just getting a little taste of it.
And right, there's now, no better place.
They're just getting a little taste of the load right now.
No better place to manage your load than California.
You're right.
If you're going to start learning how to manage your load, do it in California.
Okay, 100%. So, I quickly, like, can't let this one sneak by. In the three games in California, the special teams were good. Not great, but good. The Leafs took 7 penalties all week, okay? 7 penalties all week in all three games. Nick Ritchie took 3 of them. That's all I'm going to say.
I said about that at Nick the start Ritchie. Of the year. He takes a lot of penalties.
Like, how is the – so, and I want to talk about the coaching staff quickly, but, like, that'll lead me into that. Like, how quickly – like, you can't trust this fucking guy. They took 7 penalties all week, and 3 of them were taken by the same fucking guy, Nick Ritchie. Like, that – how can the coaching staff – you can't trust this guy in important situations. Like, you can't.
No, I'm still baffled on how he's getting the minutes that he's getting. He has like, okay. He was like the big signing in the offseason. Kind of, right? Like they signed him for two years.
The biggest name that they signed. Yeah.
Okay.
We hadn't heard of the camps or the Buntings or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
They basically took Zach Hyman's money and they kind of spread it around and he got the majority of the Zach Hyman money.
Yep.
To fill out the forwards. Bunting, I heard this today, and I think this is incredible. Zach Hyman has 8 5-on-5 points. Bunting has 12.
Yeah, that's right. They were saying
Zach
that.
Hyman, I heard that today. Zach Hyman has 15 points total. Bunting has 14. So it's kind of incredible when you think about it that Bunting quietly has really, really done a good job of like it's spread out through a few players. You got Kampf and Cache and Ritchie, but Bunting has done a very good job of sort of, you know, glossing over the whole Zach Hyman not being here, not making it, because at the start of the year, me and you both were like, they're missing Zach Hyman here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But, well, they couldn't, they're like, it looks like Bunting has found a home on that top line, on that left side. Like, I don't see anybody else.
But no matter where you put him in the lineup, he's the exact same player.
No, but like they were looking for a guy that could play up there and they really like, there's really nobody else that can do it. Like, yeah, you could probably throw Simmons up there. I think he could do it, but it's probably better to play Simmons in the bottom six and let just Bunting go. Like Bunting seems to be like, he's going to run with it right now. That's what it looks like to me.
He's doing a great job, and it kind of makes Zach Hyman a distant memory when somebody is doing that role, and he's doing an incredible job for the money he's making and the contract he's on. I mean, you can't complain. Can't complain about the brunt.
I agree. Shout out to the brunt. We love you. Brunt, right in the brunt.
So all right, what do you got to wrap this up?
Couple quick things. I do want to mention, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs are just absolutely fucking cooking, man, to, like, the lengths that I cannot, like, yeah, last season in the bubble, like the Canadian division, sure. But this is just seems like a whole new thing, the way they're playing defensively and all that. So Sheldon Keefe and the coaching staff, I just want to give a couple shout outs and some love to the boys here. Like, what is it? I'm going to pronounce these names wrong. The defensive coach, Dean, the guy they got from Carolina, Dean Shinowith or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it. The guy they got from Carolina, Dean Shinowith.
Just say Dean.
And then the who's running the defense and the penalty kill, and Spencer Carberry, who's running the power play. I don't know what the fuck Manny Malhotra is doing, but he's still behind the bench too. But specifically those two, Dean and Spencer, and Sheldon as well. I mean, talk about fucking buying in. Like, look at how they looked the first couple of weeks in October to where we're at now, sitting atop of the fucking league.
Yeah.
I just think the coaching staff deserves some fucking love on this
one. Also, I forget it. What's the guy's name that they brought in, the Tom Brady, the sports psychologist?
Oh, Gord something.
Greg Harden?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I read an article in The Athletic, and it was basically Jonas Siegel sat down, did a one-on-one interview with Mitch Marner, and he said how influential Greg Harden has been.
Oh, is that right?
He said he's so easy to talk to, and he's so, like, upbeat and charismatic, and he's like, he really, really – like pushes you to bring the best out. And Marner's been really working with him. And a lot of the guys in the team have been working with him.
And that's very interesting you say that, because just, you know, the eye test watching these guys every night now, like, something has clearly changed here.
They're mental. They go out on the ice and they think we're going to win. And they look like they're having fun while they're doing it. And I guess
I'm sure they're having a fucking blast.
No, I know,
right,
but
now
he's a big proponent of that. He's a big proponent that, if you're too much in your head thinking about it and not playing with a little fun, a little edge,
yeah,
you're never going to be the best you can be. And you should read the article if anyone hasn't checked it out. But Marner does. He gives a big props to.
So this was written, or he was interviewed, like, since they have been
on,
like,
this
winning?
On this California trip.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is when the interview happened. But
so, see, that's the thing. Like, we never hear about this guy, right? Like, we talked about him because, like, going into the season, like, they needed some mental fucking, like, they were fucked in the head, like, clearly going into the season, right?
So, well, after the way last season ended,
yeah, of course
it was gonna be really hard for them mentally to bounce back. But yeah, Marner admitted full on that he meets with this guy a lot, and this guy has been helping him huge.
So it's probably a combination of things then. Like, you can throw that into it. And if he's helping Mitch, like, how much is he helping, like, the other guys too? What about Jack?
Exactly.
Like, all kind of, like, just some of the guys playing, like, hockey, just the best hockey they've played as a Leaf. And so, but anyway, I do think Sheldon and Dean, the defensive coach, and Spencer Carberry, I think they have a lot of, they're clearly pulling the right strings right now, because this team looks fucking bought into everything right now to me.
But this is where it gets hard for them. When everything's going good, it's really hard for coaches to be like, all right, we still have things we need to work on.
And it's, their games aren't perfect. They can still clean things up. Like,
no, but it's really, hard not to think you're not doing everything right when you're winning every night.
Of course. You're right. But
good
anyway,
on, I totally agree with you. Good on Keith. Good on the other assistant coaches and the sports psychologist. Everybody's doing a fantastic job. The team is playing amazing. Take out that first part of October.
Oh, they're sitting alone.
They're head and shoulders above everybody else in the league. So good on them.
Yeah. And Sheldon Keefe also was, what's his numbers? He's like the winningest coach after, what was it? They're 77, 78 now, I think. 78, 35, and 13 in 125 games or 126 games under Sheldon Keefe. That is the most wins through the first 126 games. This was before the Anaheim game, but anyway, whatever. So I'm adding another win. But the most wins through the first 126 games as a Maple Leaf head coach in franchise history. 78, 35, 13 for Sheldon Keefe. Come on, man. Like, that's just fucking crazy. Like, where do you think those numbers would still be there if Babcock was around, or no chance?
No. I the team had checked out on Babcock, and
Sheldon I just want to praise Sheldon a little bit more. Like, he seems to just be evolving even more. And the more time he spends in the league, don't forget, man, this is his first NHL fucking coaching job. The more comfortable he gets, the more time he spends behind an NHL bench, it looks to me like this guy is just, like, he's got the potential to be one of the best coaches in the league. The way he thinks the game, like, I don't know. I still got a lot of time for Sheldon. It's just so night and day to the dude who was here before, and the kind of stuff that Sheldon is willing to do.
Well, not just Babcock, but you go back, like, the Leafs have had a tendency to always kind of go for the old the old well-known hard-nosed coach, you know, Ron Wilson, Randy Carlyle, Mike Babcock. It's just kind of the way they went. And then they went off the board.
Never a guy like Sheldon, ever. I cannot even think of one.
Never a guy with no experience in the NHL.
Never in my lifetime have I seen like them have a guy like Sheldon behind the bench. Never seen it. It's all guys like you just named.
Yeah, it was Pat Quinn. It was Pat Burns. All like guys who had tons of experience, who had won. Great coaches. A lot of them were great coaches.
Oh, sure.
But in with this team, with a young team, with this kind of talent, they went off the board. And Kyle, he went with his buddy. He went with Sheldon. And it's paying off huge. It's paying off huge. It hasn't paid off in the playoffs. And that still gives me anxiety and heart palpitations.
Yep, of course. We'll see. So quickly then, like, do you think that, like, to win, it looks like if you finish second or third in the Atlantic, you're going to play the Panthers or you're going to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's what it looks like right now. Yeah. Finishing first in the, like, I know we were talking about the regular season. Like, show us in the playoffs.
Exactly what's going to happen because it's Toronto. They're going to win the Atlantic and they're going to get Boston.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Boston's going to okay get one of the wild cards and they're going to get Boston. Cause that's just how it is in Toronto. We always get the same team if you right now had a
and we'll see what happens, like who gets on a roll and whatever.
Boston isn't in a wild card spot right now.
No, I know, but they probably will be. And if it's not Boston, it'll be one of the teams from the Metro. Like, could be the Flyers, it could be the Columbus, it could be Pittsburgh. Who the fuck knows?
Well, that'd be great, but you know how it works in Toronto. So it'll be Boston.
So I think it's very important that they really try to stay at the top of the Atlantic, because who would you rather have right now if you could fucking choose between the Panthers, the Lightning, or the Bruins?
Stay it's a no-brainer. From the entire state of Florida.
Oh, fuck. It's a no-brainer. I'll take my
the
chance.
The Stanley Cup champions or the Florida Panthers? Yeah. No, I would take my chance with the Bruins too. And what better way to exercise the demons of not only last year, but years prior than to beat the Bruins? And you would have home ice advantage this time. They've never had home ice advantage against the Bruins. They always have to play game sevens on the road.
Dude, you imagine that ends, that scenario plays out. You get the Bruins, see what happens there. If you can get past them, you get Tampa maybe in the second round. You just go on a heater. You're in the third round with beating the Bruins and the Lightning behind you. Who knows who you meet in the third round?
People can say it's fucking crazy. Look what Montreal did.
Of course.
Montreal just went on a heater and made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final. They went through Vegas, Winnipeg, and Toronto.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, I know.
Like a breeze. Toronto could do that too.
Of course. Well, if they really are bought in and this is not a mirage and like this is the way that they're going to play consistently, it's a recipe for success. It is a recipe for success. Like it doesn't look like they care about getting my cookies and blah, blah, blah. It just looks like what do we need to do to win the game? That's it right now. What do we need to do to win the game, period. Like not the, like a lot of the fancy passes and this and that, like that seems to have gone away.
Yeah. Sort of the individual play is gone.
It just seems to be about tonight, what do we need to do to win this game? What do we need to do to win this game? It's not about I'm going to make a fucking the highlight of the fucking night tonight.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, anything else you got to?
One final thing.
Here we go.
Got one day left in November. So we won't be doing another podcast until the first weekend of December. So this could still change a little bit tomorrow, but as of right now, the final total for Austin Matthews that he rose for November is, I believe, I looked at this before we started the recording, it could be slightly higher now, $144,899. It might be up to $145,000 right now. So that's pretty incredible. So he didn't blow past it, but you know, 10,000.
But he hit the target.
Oh, he hit the target and then some, like 10,000 plus. And if you go back to what he raised last year and combine it all, he's raised over $211,000 in the last 2 years for Movember. So, hey, man. But my goodness, are we ever – okay, there may be an emergency podcast coming because there's a very strong chance that Anaheim game was the last game he plays with that fucking mustache. And come Wednesday night against the Colorado Avalanche, I don't know if I'm going to recognize him. I'm going to be like, who's this guy wearing 34 out here? The fuck is this?
What the fuck happened?
What the fuck is going on here?
But we'll find out on Wednesday. But congrats, yeah. Austin, on hitting the goal.
Yeah, so that's awesome. But so did you already mention the game, the three games this week?
I haven't, but I will mention them right now. The Leafs play Colorado on Wednesday, and then we have another back-to-back Saturday, Sunday.
Fuck.
And they go on the road. That's the weirdest part about the whole thing. They're at home against Colorado for one game after being in the California trip. Then they had to Minnesota to play Minnesota on Saturday night. And then they had to Winnipeg to play
Winnipeg. That makes no sense. Coming from the West Coast, you think you could stop in Minnesota and Winnipeg. Because
out the Toronto game.
Yeah, exactly. Because after those two games, they're home.
Stop in Colorado.
Colorado,
yeah, then go to Minnesota, yeah, then this, go to Winnipeg, and then come
scheduling
home.
Here, it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah. Whatever. So they're home for one game, and then they're right back on the jet, heading out to Minnesota, Winnipeg, and then next week they're at home for the whole week. So
okay,
nice little home stand. But until that time, until this weekend, we'll probably do our podcast this weekend.
Emergency podcast coming as soon as the mustache is gone.
Yeah, emergency. We're for the Tippin Maple Leafs podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Tippin Maple Leafs podcast, on Twitter at the Tippin podcast. Check out our YouTube channel, the Tippin Maple Leafs podcast. Hit like, hit subscribe. If you like what you listen to, go to patreon.com/Tippin podcast. You can donate to the podcast, giving as little as a cup of coffee. We put the money back into the podcast to help bring you more frequent episodes and better sounding recordings. And until next time, we will
catch you later. Keep it rolling, boys. Go, Leafs, go.